We need word. Amen. We need word. Every song that we sing is based on the word. And the way we should talk to one another should be based on the word. It should be encouraging. See, we need to really be on top of our game more than ever here in 2024. See, we need to be in God's word morning, noon, and night. Well, how can I do that? I work. Well, you get up in the morning, you get into work. You got lunchtime, you get into work. You come home, you have something to eat, you get into work. It's not that hard. When I worked in a mill, and it was lunchtime, because all that was going on down there, I'd have guys coming in and out of my office, or whatever. I would go out and sit on one of the pieces of equipment that we were working on. Nobody up there. Pull out my New Testament out of my pocket, and I'd read it. Because, see, when I got born again, I got saved to the bone. I couldn't get enough of the word. So you can do it on your lunch break. You can sit there and read while going, because you're chewing the word and chewing what you're eating. So you're feeding your spirit man and your physical man at the same time. Nothing wrong with that. You have to watch those so you don't bite your finger, because when you get involved in the word, I'll tell you. See, but don't ever make a mistake of thinking that you're too busy to spend time in God's word. See, the truth is, you can't afford not to spend time in his word. See, even if you've walked with the Lord for years, you can't afford to rest on your spiritual laurels and just try to live on the word you have heard in the past. See, that's a very dangerous place to operate from. See, we need a freshness. We need to be refreshed in the word continually. Always put the word first place. Every day. See, what we consistently put into our heart will determine whether we walk in victory or defeat. Luke 6:45, the easy read version. God's people have good things saved in their hearts. That's why they say good things. But those who are evil have hearts full of evil. And that's why they say things that are evil. What people say with their mouths comes from what fills their hearts. Well, let me quote Carmen that I heard years ago. Garbage in, garbage out. What are you reading and listening to? Staying continually in the word will liberate us from the bondages of Satan. Because in John 8:31-32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. The Greek word for abide that Jesus uses here literally means to remain or stay. So Jesus is telling us to remain in God's word, letting it soak into our minds and shape our lives. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. One who abides in the word of God knows the truth. The word free refers to freedom from the bondage of sin. Obedience to the Lord means fellowship with him, protection from sin, and experiencing his great love. And what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
That's right. Everything. That's what God is. God is love. Why must we fill our hearts with the Word? By listening to it and looking at it every day. In Proverbs 4, 28 and 21, my son, attend to. Now, attend to. That is also interpreted to say, literally, pay attention to. Take seriously. So listen. My son, attend to, pay attention to, and take seriously my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. As we feed on the word and listen to God's voice, the fruits of the Spirit flow out of us and overcome the law of sin and death. Because in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, come on, Teresa, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, come on, Teresa, gentleness, self-control. Against, there is no law. Against those. I was waiting for her to get really loud on that. She just rattles them off all the time. Maybe we should get her up here and give her that microphone. Let her. See, time spent with God is never wasted. It always pays rich dividends. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whosoever a man, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he shall soweth, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. See, the Apostle Paul was saying that everlasting life is the glorious end to those who follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that he came so that we might have eternal life and have it, what? More abundantly. See, in this life, though, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we are developing a capacity to experience Christ to the fullest now and the life to come. But now. Now. See, we put everything into the future. Let's start operating in the word now. Health is in the word. Prosperity is in the word. Life is in the word. Speak life. You know, what I'm saying is you got to simply word up. Word up. 2024 has been prophesied as the year of more. More and more and more. More finances, more healings, more miracles, more breakings, more breakthroughs, more outpourings, more people coming to Jesus, more things happening. What have you been and what are you experiencing or expecting in 2024 for your life personally, for your family? How about for our nation? 2024 is a very important election year, one that will determine our future and the future of our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren for many and many years. The Apostolic Council of prophetic elders gave many prophetic words for 2024. And here's the word they gave for the United States. The 2024 election is critical. The nations are watching this coming election to decide their timetable and direction for war. If a wartime president is not elected, fueled by the prayers of wartime intercessors, then our enemies will see us as weak and plan their attacks. 2025 is a potential year for wars to break out on a much larger scale. See, that shouldn't make you scared. That should make you think. Okay. Your vote is important. And every Christian who calls himself a Christian should get out and vote. Now, I encourage you to vote. You know, Leanne goes to vote. And we have to take her, get her out. She motors down there because she doesn't trust the mail-in ballots. She wants to go in and vote. And she wants to fill out the ballot. Now, we have to have an extra sheet that's filled out with the county so that Teresa can go with her and mark, yeah, Mom, I want that one. I want that one. I want that one. And then she carried over and put it in the voting machine. But see, it's important to her to go over and vote. See, and I have a shirt that I wear every time 20 elections. You know, see, it's a red shirt, big white letters. Pray. Vote, pray, it says. I was going to bring it and show it to you. But I wear that. See, you pray before you vote. Then after you vote, you better be praying. Because they're going to need your prayer. Whether the one you gets in, or the one that doesn't, or the one you didn't vote. But you better be praying for them. God can change hardened hearts. So it's important for us. It's important for Christians to get out and pray. See, our nation can't take another 4 years from the direction that it has been put on. See, it's time for an abrupt turnaround. It's time for an oh but God right now. Mm-hmm. This is the year of oh but God. Because I believe that he is stepping in and doing so much. Doing so much. And we're aware of it now because we're praying. And we're praying. And as we pray, we alleviate the fear that has been tried to be pushed upon us. Okay? Your prayers, everything that's been talked about, God answers your prayers. He will give you the peace, his peace, which what? Transcends all understanding. Others will not, can't figure out. They say, well, don't you see what's going on out there in the Middle East? Don't you see what's, yeah, but who's in control? God. We know that. And when you trust in him, I'm telling you, when you trust in him, then the peace of God will be all over you. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray to God about everything. Ask him to help you with the things that you need and thank him for his help. That is the EEB, okay? Easy English Bible, okay? So I like everything easy, okay? Isaiah 65:23. It says, before they call, I will answer. And while they are still peace-speaking, I will hear. While you and I are praying, you hear that? While you and I are praying, corporately or individually, God hears our prayers. When does God hear our prayers? While we are praying. As the words are coming out of our mouth, it's not going on to a recording. He says, let me see what the messages are today. He hears you when you pray. When you pray, he hears. Hallelujah. We just read it, Psalm 91, verse 15. We shall call upon him, and he will answer us. He has promised to answer us. God makes a promise, he will come through with it. See, and he has also promised to be with us in trouble, to deliver us and to honor us. Because it goes on to say that I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. See, he will deliver. And he will honor you. I like that. Just like Dean, when he come out, he will be with you in trouble. He doesn't run. He's not just standing next to you. He stands in front of you to protect you. It's got to go through him first. You got to believe that. God go through him first. See, God really loves us. See, and he hears and he answers our prayers. Say, God really loves me.
God really loves me.
That's it. I love that. That was strong. I didn't have to ask you to repeat the video. But I think I will just for you to say it. God really loves me.
God really loves me.
And he does. See, the song doesn't go like that. The tribe put that into the song. Because we want to make it personal. God wants you. See, he wants you. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus tells us to ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Need to let that sink in. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Those are all positive statements. All telling you exactly. When you ask, you receive. You got to ask. And you got to be seeking him. And how do you seek him? With your whole heart. I mean, you get up to the door. You keep knocking. And all of a sudden, that door's open. But see, you got to be the one that's knocking. Jesus tells us to persist in pursuing God. We often give up after a few half-hearted efforts and tries. And we conclude right at that point in time that God can't be found. But as Timmy said, that's a head thing. That's not your heart. That's a head thing. But knowing God, hear me? But knowing God takes faith, focus, and follow through. And Jesus assures us that we will be rewarded. Don't give up in your efforts to seek God. Continue to ask for more knowledge, more patience. Yeah, let you think on that for a second. Wisdom, love, and understanding. And he will give them to you. Dutch Sheets said in his Give Him 15 post, 2024 will be a year of open doors of opportunity higher authority, influence in the seven mountains. I thought you'd have that and already telling me what the seven mountains were, my brother. And revelation. And revelation. Ephesians 1, 18 through 21, the Apostle Paul, he's praying for the Ephesians, but he's praying for us here. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Now, the hope we have is not a vague feeling that the future will be positive, but it is a complete assurance of certain victory through God. This complete certainty comes to us through Holy Spirit who is working in us. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. The world fears the power of thermonuclear bombs, the hydrogen bomb. Yet we belong to the God of the universe, who not only created this power, but also raised Jesus Christ from the dead. God's incomparably great power is available to us. There's nothing too difficult for God. Amen. Nothing. Having been raised from the dead, Jesus Christ is now the head of the church, the ultimate authority over the world. As Christians, we can be confident that God has won the final victory and is in control of everything. We're assured of that. In Psalm 8:1, it tells us Jehovah is the one in control. We need not fear. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? 1 John 4:4, by the way. But see, that's not something you can say. Greater is he that is in me. You could say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You are filled with the Holy Spirit, with the dunamis power of God. You're more powerful than the thermonuclear bomb. More powerful. Yeah, it used to be you thought the atomic bomb was more powerful. Oh, no. Thermonuclear power, these hydrogen bombs, they are. I mean, God knows they eat. You put that power here, but they're abusing it. God put things for us to use. But see, people get out of control. Yeah. They want to rule the world. Well, they can't rule the world. This world belongs to God. John 14, verses 12 and 13. Verily, verily. Who do you think speaking here? Jesus is. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go unto my Father. He's talking to you and me. And whatsoever... You hear that? Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. You hear that? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Maybe I should read that one more time, because they should be a lot more excited about that. Verily, verily, Jesus said unto you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these you shall do. Because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. The word whatsoever, what does it mean to you? Probably you're saying, I have no idea. Well, not wrong with that. It's being honest. See, so many in a church rephrase that whatsoever as if it be his will. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Right.
Think about that. If we don't ask God for something, you know, whatsoever, then the Father is not glorified. Some think Jesus was only talking about spiritual things, but he didn't say that the whatsoever was spiritual. The whatsoever is spiritual, physical, and financial, because it literally means whatsoever. At verse 14, Jesus goes on further. Ready for this. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That definitely opens up a whole big world.
Yeah.
If you ask anything in my name, then I will do it. Our everything is his anything. His everything, okay, our everything is his anything. When we use the name of Jesus, we have power of attorney. We have the authority to use Jesus' name and expect results. When you use it, expect something to happen. What does Spirit say to them little them guys? Right, the sons of Sceva? Jesus we know? And Paul we know. But who's you? And they got whooped.
Yes, they did.
They were invoking the name of Jesus and had no power of authority within that name because they didn't believe in the name. They thought it was them who was going to be cast out. They were going to get all the reward. No. Had nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with Jesus. Paul knew that. Paul was all about Jesus. I think a lot of people need that Damascus experience in their lives. Okay. See, when you got saved, Jesus put his name in you. That's why you can go boldly to the throne of grace, Anthony, I think you like it, and you can sit in his presence with the archangels, the cherubim, and the seraphim. Takes it another step further, doesn't it, my brother? See, they have to stand at attention because you sit in heavenly places. And why? Because God's name is in you. You are now the biological child of God, and you have rights. See, you are a king's kid. And king's kids have rights, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Say, I'm a king's kid.
I'm a king's kid.
You better believe you are. Hallelujah. You got born again? Then you is a king's kid.
Amen.
All right. Again, John 14, 12 through 13 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. Your everything is his anything. I ask you, will you glorify Jesus today? Will you glorify his Father? When the Father is glorified, Jesus is magnified. Because when we believe in the Father, we also believe in Jesus. See, it's a knowing thing. It means you can't be convinced of anything else, no matter what happens. If you have a financial need, then I submit to you that the reason you need is because you don't know how much you want. Listen carefully. If you have what you want, then you don't even think about your need. Let's take that a step further. When you have what you want, and need is not even a part of your life, no longer in the picture, that's growth. Are you hearing me? Maybe you should re-listen to that on the website or get a CD. See, I'm a grandparent. Like a lot of you, we're grandparents. My name is Pap. That's what they call me, Pap. When my grandkids would say, Pap, I want some ice cream. Is that greed? I'd have bought them the whole windmill. I'd have bought them a windmill. You know, hey, we're going to buy the windmill. You want the ice cream? Back now. Come on, tell me you guys got kids. Michelle, am I there? What? You're doing anything for them kids, right? Doc said, we got a big smile. Yeah, you better believe it. I know Dean's the same way. I know all of you are. You understand? So when they ask, I'm asking you, is that being greedy? Huh? No. No, that's simply a child wanting ice cream. So why do you think it's greedy to tell your Heavenly Father what you want? It's not being greedy. Mm-hmm. It takes great faith to read Christ's teaching, ask for anything, and start believing. Mark 11:24, the prayer of faith says it. And just as Jesus is speaking, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. He didn't say might, that you will have them. But what do we got to do? We got to believe that we received them. When? When we prayed. Because he heard you as you were praying. And he said or said, all right. Are they going to believe? Yeah, they're believing. All right. Then it's theirs. Look at it. There it is. It comes. Heaven just opens up and gives it to you. Is it that easy? Yeah, quit making it harder than what it is. You either trust him or you don't trust him. I mean, it was everything. He answers prayer, and we got to trust him that he hears us, and that he's going to answer. He wants to answer our prayers, as Timmy was saying. He wants to answer. He wants to give to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like that. Come on. Now, I like the way the Message translation, it's especially powerful here. Dean, I think you'll like this. Okay, this is the Message, and this is Mark 11:24. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life, and you'll get God's everything. Everything. Pray for everything. Spiritual, physical, and financial. The teachings of Jesus are revolutionary because they're, ready for this? They're Divine. Say divine.
Divine.
You're going to like this, my friend. See, he's divine. And we are die branches. Huh?
Yes, sir.
We must be revolutionary too. See, it's high time we stand up for what we believe, no matter what.
Yes.
Come hell or high water.
That's right, Pastor.
Oh, did he say that? Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of you are saying that. I don't fear nothing anymore. And I'm talking about hell. You know what I'm talking about here?
Exactly.
I'm not cussing. I'm just telling you what that is. It can come. But the gates of hell will not prevail over us. And I say it over me. You can make it personal. Now I pray for you. I pray for all of you. The gates of hell will not prevail over you. Because you're part of the church. You're part of the ecclesia. You're the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, know who you are. You have authority. You have rights. The devil can't tread on you no more. Hallelujah. Come on. You got to get excited about this word.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ah, yes. Whew. We must be revolutionary too. Yeah, like I said, it's high time that we stand up for who we are in Christ. The word of God is so powerful that it makes our brains want to tilt. See, I don't want to make a bad confession and say, blow your mind.
No.
Nah. But the word of God is not soulish. It is spiritual. I'm going to finish with this. The first sermon Jesus ever preached was in front of a crowd in Luke 4:18. Jesus speaking, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That was the beginning of the prosperity message. The first thing on God's mind was not to finance prosperity, but to eradicate it. Then Jesus taught on healing the brokenhearted, teaching and preaching deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, then set free them that are oppressed, then preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book and he gave it back to the minister. And he told the people to preach what he preached, not their opinions. Preach the word only. Speak the word. Work the word. There's power in the word, especially when your faith is lifted up. And how does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. A lot of things are going on here in 2024 already. Don't be afraid. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Lean not on your own understanding, but trust in God. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee.
Yeah.
Rejoice in everything, and again, I say, rejoice. When you continually do these things, then he can help you, protect you, strengthen you, and you'll be able to receive his joy and peace. And then you'll be able to hear from him. Amen?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.